שלום עליכם. סבור לוקחים את המשנה שביעית, פרק א', הלכה וואו, או הלכה זין, depending on the edition that you have in front of you. The משנה begins with the words עשר נטיעות. No, הלכה וואו, או הלכה זין, depending on which מהדורה you have. המשנה begins with the words עשר נטיעות מפוזרות לתוך בית סאה. Okay? Alright, so the משנה states, עשר נטיעות מפוזרות לתוך בית סאה. חורשים כל בית סאה בשבילן עד ראש השנה. This משנה is discussing נטיעות as opposed to אילנות. The difference between a נטיעה and an אילן is very simply its age. How advanced, how developed the tree is. When it's young, what we would call today probably a sapling, it's called a neti'ah, because it's you note. So that's when it's young and small, that's when it's planted in the ground. After it's more developed, generally speaking, you don't plant a tree at that point. It's already in the ground, you leave it where it is. So esa neti'oth, as opposed to what we... I'm sorry, question? Today we would call it a shathil, correct. Well, it's not exactly the same shoresh. No, obviously different shoresh, but the meaning is the same. In other words, lintoa is to plant, to root something into the ground. The shathil is something, natia refers to the action of placing something in the ground. The shathil refers to the object that is placed, is the shatul, like shathul al pelvei mayim, right? For the pasuk in Tehilim. The tree is shathul al pelvei mayim. In other words, it's rooted, stands next to a source of water. So, עשר נטיעות מפוזרות לתוך בית סאה. חורשים כל בית סאה בשבילן עד ראש השנה. Such young trees, saplings, that have not yet reached the point where they produce any fruit, because basically it seems that by all opinion, according to all opinions, even though this is discussed later on in another Mishnah, what definition, to what point is a tree, is a sapling called a sapling, is it called and does it become considered an ilan? But everyone apparently would agree that if it's producing fruit, it's no longer a neti'ah. So we're talking about eser neti'oth as opposed to trees, because everything we discussed in the previous shnayoth up to this point, u'ilanoth, right? You can check this. The very beginning of the Masechet. The first Mishnah states, adei matai horoshin sadeh ha'ilan, erev shvi'ith, right? Talking about a tree, a field in which trees are planted, in which trees are standing. Not neti'oth. The second Mishnah speaks about ezohu sadeh ha'ilan, what is considered a sadeh ilan that allows you to do harisha on the entire field. How many trees do you need? And then the third Mishnah spoke about ehad ilan sarak ehad ilan ma'achal. All these Mishnayoth, and the one after also, Mishnah halacha dalet, also speaking about haya ehad osek ikar devela, obviously we're talking about one tree that is very prolific and produces a lot of fruit. All these Mishnayot, all these halachot are talking about trees. In other words, well-developed trees that produce fruit. There, the definition, the requirement, the minimal requirement to allow one to plow one's field. We're talking here, of course, Erev Shvi'ith, not during Shnat HaShemitah. Erev Shvi'ith, this is the whole discussion here in this perek. What's called Shnei Prakim Arishonim. This is the first of the two prakim. The other perek is the second perek. The perek meaning is the time before Shvi'ith itself, during the sixth year. The minimal requirement that allows one to plow the entire field regarding Ilanoth was that you have at least, as we saw in Halacha Beth, where it says, Ezohi Sadeh Ha'ilan, Kol Shelosha Ilanoth Levet Se'ah. If there are three trees in one Beth Se'ah, which is 50 by 50 Amah, אם ראויות לעשות כיכר דבלה ששישים מנה ביטלקי, חורשים כל בית סאה בשבילן. If less than that, then you can't plow the entire field for the purpose of those trees, but only you can only plow the immediate area around each tree to help it survive and to produce fruit in a reasonable manner. So the requirement for ilanoth was שלושה ilanoth that produce... אם ראויות לעשות כיכר דבלה ששישים מנה ביטלקי, then that's sufficient. So even three trees can be sufficient to plow an entire field, the area of Beth Se'ah. Whereas now, this halacha, which is halacha, wow, at least in front of me, in this Mahadurah, the Mishnah that I have in front of me. Esa neti'ot mefuzaroth letoch bet se'ah. Here we're not talking about ilanot, we're talking about neti'ot, which is a different thing altogether. Here you couldn't possibly make the minimal requirement to be in any way connected to the produce, because there is no produce. These trees are much too young to produce anything yet. Here, the requirement, the minimum requirement to plow the entire field, the entire Beth Se'ah, is that if you have 10 spread out throughout a Beth Se'ah, Horshim called Beth Se'ah Bishvilan Ad Rosh Hashanah. As we explained earlier, when we began studying Shvi'it, the purpose of plowing the field in such a case is to allow the roots of the trees that exist, and regarding the ti'of, it's even more critical because they haven't got a very advanced root system yet, these young trees, these young saplings. They require all the nourishment they can get. By plowing the earth in the field, you introduce oxygen into the top layer of the soil, which creates microorganisms, etc., which also which causes the retention of more moisture in the upper layers of the field, of the soil, and all this is very critical, very important for the trees, and the younger the trees, in fact, the more critical. So here, the requirement is, Eser Neti'oth, in one field, is sufficient. We don't discuss how much fruit they produce, it's enough to have 10. Now, the Mishnah continues, Hayu Asuyoth Shura, Umukafoth Atara, En Horshim Lahen Ela Tzorkan. If these 10 neti'oth were, there are different perushim when it comes to this term of the Mishnah, but first we'll state what seems to be the correct perush. Hayu asuyoth shura, if these 10 trees, as opposed to what the Mishnah just said, were mefuzaroth throughout the Beth Se'ah, if they were not mefuzar, but rather they were in one line, they were planted in one straight row, down the length of the field. Umukafoth atara. Umukafoth means o mukafoth atara, which is very often the case in the Mishnah, in Shona Mishnah or Shona Baraita, that a wow in such a case often means either or, not both. It is not, you don't need two, both these facts, you need one of them. If the trees are planted in a row, or they are mukafoth atara, which we'll explain in a moment, what that means, then, en hoshim lahen ela ksorkan, then, this pre-Shvi'ith plowing, which was made Asur, as we discussed before, and we'll discuss again in a moment, the source of this Isur is a matter of some discussion. This Isur itself was eventually nullified, but the Isur of plowing, Erev Shvi'ith, applies, and you can only plow around each of the trees separately individually, but you cannot plow the entire field because of those 10 if they are planted either in a row, or they are mukafoth atara. Here we see there is a certain humrah regarding the Eser Neti'oth, which did not exist regarding the shalosh ilanoth. Maybe because of the fact that here is 10 and there is 3. If you have 10 in a line, shall we say, all along the one side of the field, it's very clear that all these trees, there's 10 of them in number, they all belong to this side of the field. They have nothing to do with the other side of the field. As opposed to 3, we said, the halakha we saw previously in the Yerushalmi was, that if you have 3 trees, even if they are on one edge of the field, we don't say that you can, and the 3 trees, not nitioth, ilanoth, shalosha ilanoth, that do produce the requisite amount of fruit. We don't say that even if the 3 happen to be on one edge of the field and the rest of the field cannot be plowed. We say rather you can plow the entire field because of those 3 trees, even if they're at the edge of the field. But that's perhaps for 2 reasons. A, because there's only 3. So 3 is not, it's not such a clear picture. There's only 3 trees, you haven't put them there. Maybe tomorrow you'll get another 3 trees and you'll plant the other 3 somewhere in the middle of the field. In other words, it's not clear that these 3 prove that this other half of the field has nothing to do with these trees over here. That's one. Whereas 10, there's lots of trees. If you put them all on one side of the field, it seems as if you have no intention of spreading them out later or having them connected to the other side of the field. Maybe on the other side of the field you intend to do something different. Maybe you intend to grow wheat over there perhaps sometime. That's one reason. Another reason, possibly, is very simple
physical reason. Large trees that produce lots of fruit, like Shloshay Ilanot, that produce the requisite amount that we said, like Kikar Devela Shel Shishim Maneh Beitalki, which is a lot of fruit, have very advanced root systems, which go both deep into the ground and also spread out laterally in all directions. And they can go very, very great distances, in fact. So that by plowing part of the field, which may even be, for argument's sake, 25 or 35 meters away from the tree, it still is benefiting that tree over there because of its very spread out root system. Whereas neti'oth, which are saplings with much less developed root systems, clearly their roots will not, these trees will not benefit from harisha that is done miles away on the other side of the field. They only benefit from things that are done much closer to where they are. Therefore, if the 10 neti'ot are spread out all over the field, then you can be choresh the entire field. In other words, you have to go between the trees. There has to be enough space between the trees for you to do that. But that would be the normal way of doing it. Otherwise, they're too close together. It's not practical, and that's not how a normal person plants. And that's why the Tosefta mentions this fact, that there has to be the room between the trees to move with the ox and the plow. So if they're spread out throughout the Beth Se'ah, then you can plow the entire Beth Se'ah because you're plowing the entire area, and each area benefits a different tree. But if they're all 10 are on one side, they're all Beshura on one side of the field, shall we say, then it's as you would say in English, it's a bit of a stretch to say that you could plow the entire field because of the 10 saplings over there, which clearly do not benefit from what you're doing over here. That has to do with the first statement in the Mishnah, or in the Sefer, that is to say, the Sefer of the Mishnah. The first stipulation was that they should not be asuyot shura in a row. The other stipulation was mukafot atara. Before I go on to mukafot atara, we said that we also mentioned about shura, the simple perush we gave. There are mufarshim who understood shura to be like the word shur, which means a wall. Meaning that they understood it to mean if the trees were surrounded by a wall of some kind, or a fence of some kind. But for a number of reasons, which perhaps we won't go into now, it's involved, and there's also no proof that this is the meaning of the of what it says here. And the word shura simply understood means a shura, a row. This is an unlikely perush. But this perush, this concept of a shura, meaning being understood as a shur, as a wall or a fence, is connected. Maybe it's not the correct perush for the first statement, hayosuyos shura, but it does help us understand perhaps the second statement, mukafot atara. Regarding mukafot atara, we also have different perushim. One of the Rishonim, the Reb Matz, Abeno Binyamin Rabbi Malki Sedek, explains that they also understands this. He understands mukafot atara to mean exactly that they have some kind of structure, wall, fence built around them. The Rash, Abeno Shimshon Mishans, also understands it in that sense, to be meaning some kind of a fence. The atara, in other words, means some kind of a fence or a partition. There are other Rishonim, like the Rambam and the Rosh, who understand that there's no fence and there's no wall here. We're talking about simply how, in which way they are planted. The first stipulation was that if they're planted in a row, then you can't, in one straight line row, you cannot plow the entire field. And the other was that if they're planted in an atara, meaning in some kind of a bow or crescent shape, that's an atara, like a crown, a rounded keshet. Rambam uses the word keshet. The Rosh uses the word bi'igul. So according to that, the shura and the igul are both saying much the same thing. The real perush, I'll leave till after Arvith, okay, which we're going to have in a moment. But according to this perushim, if it means the first statement, asiyot kishura means in a straight line, and kafot atara means that they're planted in some kind of a crescent or semicircular shape. The idea in both these cases is that these are obviously planted in such a fashion to keep them separate from the rest of the field. Because if that was not your intention, you wouldn't have planted them in that fashion. And therefore, again, it's illogical, it's a stretch to say you can plow the entire field because of a crescent-shaped group of trees over there, which is obviously designed to be kept as a separate, like a separate aruga, separate part of the field. We'll stop here and we'll continue after a bit.